Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking that out. Our good friend Russ Brown is our guest this hour. Russ is the president of RDS Associates Incorporated. Also, his other company called Business Book Press is his publishing company. And Russ is a member of our Brain Trust. He is the author of two books that I'm holding in my hands. One of them is Preparing Your Business for Sale, which is what we're going to talk, we're going to have our discussion out of today. And his other book, which is called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, received a Kiplinger's recommendation, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine recommendation. Russ, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I certainly appreciate being back.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us. And I know we're going to talk about succession planning for the family-owned business today, Russ, and I appreciate you allowing us to get into that and helping us with that. Before we do, though, as you know, it's Columbus Day. And I just have a couple of myths here that I wanted to debunk. A lot of people thought that Columbus set out to prove the earth was round. Did you know that?
That's what I've heard.
Well, that's not true, actually. Actually, most people knew that the earth was a sphere by the time he set out. But what he did, though, was to prove out, he set out to prove how big the earth is. That was one of the things he wanted to do. And he only missed it by 25%.
Wasn't one of his objectives to find a trading route to the Far East?
That's right, to India. And that's the reason why the indigenous people in this part of the world are called Indians now, obviously, is because he was looking for India. And he actually thought he'd found India.
Oh.
But anyway, I got a few more little tidbits that we'll talk about later. But let's get into succession planning for a family-owned business. You know, Russ, mom and pop starts a business, and they work hard. I mean, they literally just put their mind, body, and soul into this business. They start it from absolutely zero. All they have is a dream and maybe two nickels to rub together and a lot of hard work, and they put everything into it. They build this business up. Before you know it, it's 35, 40 years later, and the business has really penetrated the marketplace, and it's really successful. It's one of the major companies in the area, and maybe it's worth a lot of money. They've got some real estate holdings, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes the owners, because they've worked so hard for this, even though they have children, sometimes they even though they're, you know, maybe 70, 75 years old, they can't imagine not owning this company. And that creates a problem for the succession, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And what you want to keep in mind is that there's a significant number of family-owned businesses in this country. In fact, by some estimates, there's over 10 million.
10 million?
Yes, right.
Wow.
And now, if you want to define a family-owned business, I mean, it's hard to really put a real good label on it. But what I like to do is just, if you own a business and you have any of your children or siblings working in a company, and you hope to someday transfer ownership to them in some manner, in some capacity, then that's a family-owned business. And these issues that we're going to talk about today, and which are contained in my book, are important things to think about, because many people want to keep the business in their family, but there comes a time, as you said, when they need to think about stepping down. All of us age. Many of us want to retire at some point, want to go off and spend the day playing golf instead of worrying about the day-to-day business problems. And we want to be able to transfer this to our son or daughter or younger brother or someone else in the family. And tremendous problems start to crop up just when that happens if you haven't prepared properly for it.
Well, one of the things that and that's well said, Russ. And I tell you, one of the things that you've written here in your book is one of the biggest overall mistakes that controlling owners in the family business make when it comes time for transition, is that they do not put the same time and effort into planning and structuring the business sale as they would if it was an arm's length transaction.
That's right. You know, they somehow believe that the process will just be simple, that Junior will be able to take over the business just naturally because Dad started it or Mom started it, and Junior's working in the business or is expected to work in the business, and that it's just going to transfer nice and easily. But boy, there's a lot of problems with that because a lot of times Junior doesn't have the same interests, the same desires, same motivations as Dad and Mom do. They may not have the same capabilities, relative technical capabilities according to running the business. They may not have, and one big question is always the money. Mom and Dad usually have everything tied up in the company. And how do they get that money out? How do they unlock the value that's in that company in such a way as they can take that investment they have in their business and use that for their retirement years, but at the same time allow their son and daughter, if that's who would take over, who has no money, usually, how do they get to the business? So this is a ticklish problem, and there are many ways to solve it. And these are the kinds of things that that we're going to talk about today, and which also are covered more extensively in my book and, of course, in many other forums.
Well, you know, Russ, even if you've got an heir apparent or more than one maybe, who are very capable, and they're the obvious heir apparents, and maybe they've even been running the business basically for the last 5 or 10 years. I mean, you often see that. The fact remains that the founder isn't able to divest themselves of this business properly, and then you've still got to change ownership. And in the beginning, the ownership was held by the founders.
That's right.
And these children may be your children, and you may be saying, you know, yeah, it's staying in the family. But they're still different taxpaying entities, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where that's where you have some problems that get created. Stand by, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Russ Brown's going to be back with us. We're talking about succession planning for your small business. Even if you've got a new small business, you need to be thinking about this. You need to get educated about how to transfer ownership one day. It's 20 after the hour, I should say. We'll be right back. Stay with us, please.
I found my thrill.
We are back on Blueberry Hill with our good friend, Russ Brown. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is an outstanding small business resource. He's been with us lots and lots of times. We've enjoyed his wisdom and his perspective and his intelligence many times. He's helped us to understand a lot of different things, especially in the area of preparing your business for sale or helping you to know what to do to buy a business in a lot of different areas. And Russ, I want you to, on behalf of my audience, I want you to know we appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jim. I enjoy doing it.
Thank you. Okay, in your book, chapter 5 of your book, you separate the issues into three areas. The issues of strategies for succession planning for your small business. You separate them into three categories.
Right. Personal issues, strategic issues, and financial issues.
All right, let's take the first one.
And they're all very important, and they all have to be paid attention to make sure you have a successful transition to your family member. So in the first case, in the personal issues, let me just cover them very quick, and then we'll go back and talk about each one in detail.
Okay.
First issue is giving up control. Second is facing the inevitable, and let me just put a quick point in there. You know, we're all going to have to transfer the ownership of our business at some point, like it or not. We can't keep it forever.
One way or the other. For one reason or another, right?
Yep. Either you or your estate.
Right.
The other personal issues are capability of your children, which you have to consider, multiple children, and how that relates to leadership of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Other areas that might want to stick the nose under the tent, inadequate funding, and that basically covers the broad spectrum of the personal issues. So let's get back to giving up control. This tends to be one of the biggest problems in transitioning from a first generation to a second generation ownership. You know, the original owner, the founder of the company, typically did that through a tremendous amount of work and effort and making tough decisions and being in charge and being in control of that company. And after 30 or 40 years or however long it's been, to try to turn that over to anybody, never mind your children, is a tough prospect. So what you have to do as a business owner is understand that you're going to have difficulty. You will have difficulty turning over control of your baby to your child or to some other family member who you're planning to transition the company to. This
and you know,
will be difficult.
Do you think that men have more problem with this than women?
Well, to be truthful with you, there's far more men own businesses, so
yes. So
the data really right now that I've seen supports, you know, I really have most experience with men own businesses.
Right. Well, and you're exactly right from the standpoint of this current current crop, so to speak, of businesses that are being transferred. But if you take examples of where to compare a woman-owned business with a woman-founded business and run business with one that was founded and run by a man, I really think that men have more trouble with this than women do, and that's been my experience. But it still goes back to, it's still not easy for anyone, for men or women, because this is, as you said, I think earlier, this is your baby.
That's right.
This is like one of your children.
That's exactly, that's right, and exactly right. So you wouldn't want to give up one of your children. And again, you get back to, even though it is your child, in most cases, that would be taking over control of the company, it's just, very, very difficult to
you
get
know,
up that control.
One thing I'd like to propose, Russ, is that the larger the company, probably the easier it is to let control go, because the larger the company, you probably got at least one layer of executives in the company.
Right. The larger the company, the more you've already given up control.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So as time goes on, as the company gets bigger and bigger, then more and more control is given up.
Right.
But typically, in a lot of the companies, even up to 20 and 30 employees and more, there's usually one person in charge, and that person is full control of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the vast majority of companies
that's
and businesses
exactly right.
out there that we're talking about. The next area is facing the inevitable, facing the fact that you will give up control of your company at some point. And it isn't just your death that you have to worry about, it's incapacitation.
That's right.
Let's talk about that when we get
back. We will. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Russ Brown is our guest. We're talking about succession planning for your small business. Even though you may have just started your business, it's going to happen one day. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. The new one is on the way. The new website, Russ, is on the way. It is winding its way through the system. Apparently, I changed servers and I changed hosting companies, and I also changed websites at the same time. And that changeover takes more time, apparently, than it used to.
Yeah, there's a flood of that kind of activity going on, and so they're so busy with new websites and change websites and so on that I think it's going to take you a little while to get that up.
Well, I'm anxious to get it up, and I've been telling my audience about it, and they probably think, well, you know, is the guy telling the truth or not?
Well, I can assure him that that's true.
You've seen it, haven't you?
The good fortune of being able to see the preliminary site as it's unfolded, and boy, it's a super, super site. And I think your listeners are going to really be excited about it when you do get it online.
Well, and you are, and as you probably, as you know, you are well represented in the archives, and so I'm looking forward to people being able to go and take advantage of that. I was going to mention a little bit more about Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus, a lot of people say that he was really more of a demon than a saint because of some of the things that he did. But regardless of that, he was an entrepreneur. There's no question about that. And that's, to me, that's one of the messages that I get out of Columbus. He wanted to. He was brave. He was very courageous. He was obviously very smart, and he was an entrepreneur. He put a deal together to make the three ships available to go on this trip in 1492. Actually, they made landfall 507 years ago today. But the other thing is that's interesting is Queen Isabella was also an entrepreneur. She didn't want to hock the crown jewels to make the trip, so she got one of her towns to put up two ships, I should say, in lieu of paying their taxes. So they were bartering back then. So a lot of entrepreneurial things going on back then.
Yeah, they sure were.
Okay, let's get back into succession planning for your small business. You were talking about facing the inevitable, Russ.
Yeah, well, the inevitable is, of course, I think in everybody's mind, we all know, we're all rational people, that someday we're going to pass on to our reward. And so the business will change hands. Some people just can't seem to accept that or want to put that out of their mind, don't want to think of it. And so that delays the a smooth transition of the company. But we're all familiar with that, and eventually, I think, as you get older, some people start to accept the fact that's going to happen. But here's the other big thing that you got to think about that happens far more often, and that's incapacitation mm-hmm. of the current owner. You just can't predict when you're going to have a debilitating illness.
Or an accident.
Yeah, like a heart attack or some other kind of thing that takes you out of the loop. And if you haven't planned for your transition, who's going to take over the company? And in the case of your children, it's just a family-owned business. I mean, you have got to make sure you've got everything ready for that child to assume the leadership role that they're going to need to do.
Right.
So that's smart to do. Okay, let's talk about the capability of your children. This is something, again, that a lot of parents who want to transition their company to their children, they just assume that the junior will be able to take this company and run it like they're able to do.
And we'll want to,
that's right. So there's two things there, the capability and the desire. And a lot of times children don't have the desire, or they don't have it at the particular point in time that the mom or dad is ready to transfer the business. So it may be just immaturity on the part of the child, and they need some more time to grow up, or they need more experience and things of that nature. But sometimes they just don't have the capability, or they don't have the same sense of business, or they don't have the same sense of technical capability, or whatever it is that has made this particular business good. Now, there's lots of things, ways to work around this that I offer in my book, and I'll just give you one quickly. Is a lot of times you can bring in hire an outsider to complement that capability that of your child that doesn't exist, that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have a really good marketing sense, for example, but they've got a good administrative sense, well, you can bring in perhaps a marketing person that you didn't otherwise have on the staff as a part of your transition plan. Okay, well, let's...
Another thing I like to bring up, as far as the children are concerned, there are a number of other issues. Number one, you may not have any children, and that's another topic I guess we'll talk about in a minute. But the other thing is, what if the timing is bad? What if the children are, 30 years old and they just haven't been around long enough to really have the experience to really take the helm, any time in the next 5 years or so? And sometimes you have to introduce what I call a bridge CEO or a bridge president.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely, and I do address that, and that's commonly used, a bridge CEO, a bridge board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the ways that you can handle that. But again, you've got to make sure that the child is ready, willing, and able to take that on at some point.
Right.
Okay, and you've got some other things you got to worry about too. And sometimes, like you just said, well, if there's only one, or they're too young and not ready, Sometimes you've got multiple children, and how do you choose which child is the one that takes over the family business?
I've got numerous clients who are in that situation, and they're really wrestling with who's going to be the heir apparent. Stand by. We've got to take a break. Russ, it's 39 after the hour. We're going to be right back, continue our discussion on succession planning for your small business with our good friend, Russ Brown. Stay with us. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question or a comment, if you'd like to join me and my special guest, our good friend, Russ Brown, a member of our Brain Trust. And we're talking about succession planning for small businesses. Russ, you've got two outstanding books that I've told my audience many, many times about before. We've talked about them, Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, two different books. Tell us where we can get them.
Well, the excellent bookstore chain of Barnes & Noble carries the books, as do almost any other good quality bookstore that can order them if they don't have them on the shelf. You can certainly get them online at my website, called businessbookpress.com, and you can always call the publishing company at 800-363-8867.
And if they go to your website and they order both of them, they get a little bit of a discount, won't they?
They certainly do. They'll get a discount either way. They'll get a discount just for ordering one.
Okay.
Least expensive, even less expensive than Amazon.
All right. Sounds good. Check that out, folks. These are excellent books, and there's probably a little summary of both books, isn't there, on your website?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, that way you can tell which one you want, and you may want to order one at a time or both of them, but both of them are excellent books. Okay, we're talking about succession planning, and you were about to talk about multiple children and the leadership, and I've got several, actually, clients who have more than one child, two, three, four, five children, and in some cases they're very close together, and they're all in the business. In some cases not, and sometimes the obvious heir apparent to the president has popped up, and sometimes it hasn't been so obvious, and this has been a really tough decision. For the owners, the founder and the mother and the father, both of them, to make the decision, and it's created problems inside of marriages before.
Oh yes, it's created lots of problems.
Because mom thinks it ought to be one, and pop thinks it ought to be the other.
That's right. And guess how a surprising number of companies solve this problem? They choose joint CEOs,
ooh,
joint leaders. And there's a very respected firm that is very active in the family-owned business planning area, and it's Arthur Anderson,
mm-hmm,
in conjunction with Mass Mutual. And they do studies every couple of years, and the latest study that I've seen on this is that over 10% of family-owned businesses are headed simultaneously by two or more CEOs. And outside the family business, is unheard of. You just wouldn't put two people in charge.
Oh, I know it.
But they do it. And I'm going to tell you, it's from my view, my perspective, it leads to disaster.
I think it's a bad idea.
You can't have two people in charge. I don't care how well they get along. They, you know, everything may start out fine on day one, but as time goes on, it just doesn't work. And it's the same with partnership, ownership of business. I strongly advise everybody starting out in a small business with a partner, never do a 50-50 ownership of that business.
Yeah.
51-49 is fine, anything other than that, but never 50-50. You need someone in charge, someone where the buck stops here, someone who's clearly identified as the one responsible for making the decision.
When you've got co-CEOs, as you say, and their siblings, they bring all this baggage, all this sibling baggage into the, maybe some families aren't like this, but most families, most siblings have some baggage, don't they?
They sure do. Well, of course they do, and they've got all of that coming along. They've got all the sibling rivalry that goes into this, and all the personal issues that get all tied up. So it's you take the worst of what I just talked about with the partnership relationship, And then you mix in this sibling rivalry into it, and I can't help but believe it's a formula for disaster. So now, of course, there's always cases where it does work. So the exception to the rule always exists. But in general, don't do it. Select the most qualified individual in your family. If you've got more than one that is shown an interest and capability to run the company, select one to be in charge. Do them a favor. Pick one to be in charge. It may hurt at first, maybe, but you can handle this properly. I mean, there is a way, and again, we go into this in the book, as to how you deal with the other children relative to your selecting one of them over the others.
What about the inadequate funding? That's a real big deal, isn't it?
Well, and there's a whole section on this, and we're going to talk about this, I think, in a separate radio segment. But the inadequate funding is the biggest, probably the biggest issue overall that faces a successful transfer, because you know the kids just don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're in their early 20s, 30s, they haven't had an opportunity to accumulate any capital or wealth that would be necessary to buy out. You know, mom and pop.
And the problem is that the business may not be liquid enough for the owners to the founders to take the money out. And as you say, the children can't afford to buy it, and the founders are afraid to leave the business in the hands of the children to pay them out from earnings because they're not convinced that they can run the business properly. It's a really stressful time, isn't it?
Boy, it sure is.
Yeah. All right, stand by. We're going to wrap up the hour by talking about some things that you can do to help yourself in the areas of the personal issues of succession planning for your small business. I'm Jim Blasingham, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our guest. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. It's 54 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingham, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that Jack Harbor is going to be joining us in the next hour. We're going to be talking about some salesmanship issues. Jack's a professional sales trainer. He's going to be helping us to become better at selling, to make sure that we drive the top line of our operating statement, to make sure that we have plenty of sales. Russ Brown is with us right now as we wrap up the hour. We're talking about succession planning for your small business, and there's a lot to talk about here, folks, and we're going to get Russ to come back and talk to us some more about some of the other issues. The next time, Russ, you join us, we're going to get into some of the strategic areas, and then we'll get into some of the financial issues, which we'll also come back and talk about the inadequate funding during the financial issues. That's also a part of the personal issues. You know, Russ, it's so sad to see this couple work so hard all their life to build something of value, something quality. They create jobs, you know, maybe dozens of jobs, maybe hundreds of jobs from absolutely nothing. And they get so tied up, they just can't bring themselves to turn loose of this business in a timely manner when they should be in an appropriate manner with all the legal I's and T's dotted and crossed. And it really creates problems when they're that short-sighted, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. It sure does. And you really hate to see this otherwise very high-quality business start to go down the drain because of that poor planning on the part of the business owner.
It's a crisis period in a company, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
As the founders move toward retirement.
It's a crisis. It can be a crisis. It's frequently a crisis if you haven't properly planned for this and prepared for it. And that's the whole focus of what I'm trying to do with my books. I'd like to see folks avoid these problems and have a smooth transition, whether they're selling their business to a stranger or transferring it to within the family, to a family member. Either way, you've got to plan carefully. You've got to realize that there are a lot of potential problems. And if you start doing it, and you should do this many years before you actually think you're going to have to, then you're going to be able to solve most of these problems and make for a nice, smooth transition when the time comes.
Should we get an attorney and an accountant involved in this planning?
Well, you don't really need to right up front. You've got to be careful. You don't want, I call them the meter runners. You know, you've got to be careful before you get these folks in to start their meter running. And of course, it'll depend on the size of your company, and you may have an accountant and a an attorney on staff, that mm-hmm. sort of thing, then certainly you'd involve them earlier. But for a lot of small companies that don't have the luxury of that, you want to bring them in later. What you want to start doing is getting information of the kind that we're talking about here, and that's on your website and through the other various sources, and sort of bone up, you know, learn some of the issues that you have to worry about, start thinking about them.
Start learning long before you need it.
Absolutely. Be prepared, you know, get ahead of the curve.
Talk to other owners of businesses who are a little bit ahead of you in the curve and who are doing this now.
That's excellent advice, Jim.
Yeah.
You know, to talk, if you have friends in the business, in the field that have transferred their business to the children, talk to them. Sit down and have a long talk to them. How did they, you know, what were the problems they experienced and how did they resolve it?
Russ, that's
a great idea.
That's
got to
be the last word. We'll see you next time. We're going to finish this up when you come back with us. Thank you for being here.
Okay, Jim. Very, very pleased to be with you.
Yeah, Russ Brown, folks. Couldn't do without him. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.